Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Dan Weederer.
His name is Dan Weederer. Weederer time.
Weedsy.
With Danny and Speeds.
Weederer time.
Bears.
The Take the North pod. Dan Weederer talks football with you.
Dan Weederer, Bears beat reporter for the Tribune. The Score, the Take the North podcast, with us on the Circa Resort and Casino hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. And you can see him on Twitch, kind enough to turn on the video camera for us and talk on the Parkinson Spiegel show. What's up, Weedsy? Sorry, I saw his video up there. My bad. I apologize. Dan Weederer will be with us momentarily.
Weeds is there. We're getting a little of Danny Parkins on the Zoom audio also. So we got to mute Danny. I think we have to go back and do that. So
that's my bad, guys. Folks.
Everything's totally fine.
All right. It's all fine. Everything's good. It's all good.
Everything's good, man. And Weedsy's working on a monster piece. We talked about it in transition because he talked about it with Bernstein and Lawrence Holmes. The hallways are a flutter with speculation as to what the monster piece could be about. Danny, you have theories? You have working theories at this point?
Yeah, well, Kevin Warren. It's got to be about Kevin Warren and what, you know, maybe like a first 100 days on the job piece, like a president of the United States, you know, like how you judge your first 100 days in office. Maybe it would be the first 100 days of Kevin Warren, something like that.
Trying not to talk about the piece on Wednesday, I guess it was. And now it's become a source of rumor and speculation that I can neither confirm nor deny nor address, really.
Okay.
See, but this is how it happens, Dan. It's kind of like when you don't show up to OTAs, like people start talking about
you. Start digging into your business,
that's
right?
That's what I'm saying. The story builds. There's potential for resentment and misreading tone and everything like that. So
I will just tell you that I'm excited about what it will be, and we'll all just have to stay patient and wait, and we can talk again before too long. It's not that long until we report to training camp. It's actually pretty alarming if you're an NFL beat writer when you look at the calendar and you go, oh God, you know, summer's almost over already because training camp is like 6.5 weeks away and off we go.
Yeah, that's true. And then you guys get to training camp and there's a bunch of news right at the beginning. And then it lulls real quick, right?
Correct.
Until a couple of preseason games kick off. Because, like, football doesn't feel close to me, but I can see for you why the start of training camp feels close. But that doesn't it doesn't feel like football's close.
You have to start canceling all weekend plans once training camp starts because you're just now a prisoner to the NFL at that point. The Bears will get opportunity to go to Indy in early August for those crossover practices. I think that's going to be a great thing for all of us in terms of breaking up that long grind from the report day to, you know, week one. That's going to be right in the middle there, which will be fun for us to kind of see how they size up against a different opponent and give us a little bit different perspective on everything.
Dan, what has been important in coming from these OTAs, important for fans to know about and understand, in your opinion?
Well, I'll start with what was talked about a lot yesterday, and it's just kind of the natural chemistry that seems to have built between Justin and DJ Moore. And I think when you watch with your eyes some of the things that DJ Moore does on a practice field, you go, okay, like this is obviously a proven productive receiver in the NFL who understands how to separate. And then you start to talk to people around the building about what it is that gives him those gifts and then makes him an asset to Justin. And I asked Andrew Janoco, the quarterback's coach, on Wednesday, why is DJ so quarterback friendly? And he said he's just as savvy. It's his ability to get to the line of scrimmage, understand what coverage he's facing, and know how to attack that coverage with leverage and route running ability that creates that split second of separation that now gives your quarterback the window to hit the operative words here that have been said, you know, 15 times a week when we've been up there the last month, rhythm and timing in your passing game. And so now you've got a guy that is a trusted number one for Justin that he can go to. And really through this early portion of the program here, you've seen that chemistry start to click a little bit. We're going to get a much bigger sample size again in July and August when training camp is there and there's practice every day. But right out of the gates, you see it and you feel it and you go, okay, that's something to be optimistic about.
Grody said yesterday that he's getting frustrated with how when the coaches talk about Justin, it's still a lot of the leadership, intangible meetings, all of that stuff, as opposed to concrete, he's better at XYZ football thing. What would your reaction to that observation be?
There isn't enough going on right now to tell whether he's good at X, Y, and Z football thing that they're asking him to work on, because you're at a stage of the offseason where you're installing a lot of things. You're just working on fundamentals and teaching, and you're not scheming against the defense. You're not doing as many things as we'll see in training camp that will test those things out. I think obviously the two things that I hear consistently from inside that building about where they want Justin to go is processing from the pocket at a much faster rate. And I had a league source last week tell me this has nothing to do with aptitude or intelligence. It's about applying it quicker and understanding that this is the NFL. We got to go, you know, and when we're in a play that requires the ball to be out, the ball better be out when it's out there. And so processing that at a faster speed that then gives you that pocket presence that then makes the passing attack flow. And then I thought there was some interesting stuff on Wednesday from Luke Getsy, which is just kind of an emphasis on the situational running that they're going to continue to ask Justin to do. It isn't going to be 2022 ever again, where his scrambling ability is just do it whenever and take off and use your gifts to make plays, because that introduces an injury risk. It introduces physical and mental fatigue that make you less fresh and less sharp at the end of games, make you less fresh and less sharp at the end of seasons. And so you've heard it from Matt Eberflus in saying, look, we need to lean on that on third downs to move the chains. We need to lean on that in the red zone to produce points. And other than that, you're going to have to be very instinctive about understanding what we've talked about this previously. Where's your check down? What's an easier way to get those 6 yards? How do we make sure we take some of that mileage off of you when it doesn't need to be used? And so they're constantly harping on this. At the same time, as Luke said yesterday, you know, you can coach certain things in the meeting room, but you never want to make an athlete as gifted as Justin is robotic and overthinking this to the point where he holds back at times when he could make one of those plays for you. But it's all about teaching and training decision-making over and over again so that when you get into the regular season, it's just a little bit more fluid.
I thought the piece by Dan in the Chicago Tribune, I think it was the 2nd of March, the book on Justin Fields, where you talk to all these execs and all these people from all over the league, did a nice job of drilling down on some specifics that we want to see him get better at. And it's helpful. And you know, and we'll compile these and we'll think about them. How many of the specifics do we even have a chance to see between now and opening week of a regular season game?
You'll see a lot of them in training camp, and you will be able to get a gauge on where the progress is. Now, I've had a lot of people tell me that you're not going to know until the first week of October how much progress has been made, because no matter how much you want to interpret training camp or look at crossover practices or see, you know, 5 series of preseason action or whatever he may take, you're just not going to get the same sort of simulated live regular season action as you're going to get. And so people are going to have to be patient, but there are going to be ways to test this during training camp. And we're probably just going to have to make up a checklist that goes through, okay, is he doing X? Is he doing Y? Is he doing Z? And does it look the way it's supposed to look? If Justin can hit that developmental springboard, the door's open for 2023, right? You can accelerate where you're trying to go. If it's a little bit clunky, then it's probably going to be where a lot of people expect the season to be, which is kind of hanging around that 6 or 7 win margin and trying to figure things out as we progress forward.
Dan Wiederer, Bears beat reporter, is with us. Speaks and I differ on attendance at voluntary workouts. I think that they're voluntary and it's collectively bargained, and I'm shocked how many people do show up.
he thinks you've signed your deal, make a good impression, you should be there.
Yeah, it's situational. Just, you know, like Jalen Johnson, different than Nate Davis in my mind. Go ahead, Danny.
I ride the seesaw on this one because you just want to have a consistent set of expectations for every player. You know, and I like Jalen as much as you guys like Jalen, and I appreciate how forthright and candid and how just consistent he is with the way he makes his decision and what is important to him. But if you want to be a core leader for this team deep into the future, there are people you need to prove that to. It's your teammates, it's your coaches, it's other people. And so, look, I would have loved to have skipped the last 2 weeks of OTAs and spent more time with my kids as well. And you just do your job because that's what you're paid to do. So, you know, and then I seesaw and say, it's just May, it's just June. This is all going to be in the rear view by the time we get to late August. As an organization, as a coaching staff, you would just like there to be a core set of standards and expectations that everyone adheres to. And when you don't, it just introduces wiggle room that you don't need. You know, the most extreme example is when Lance Briggs asked for a personal day on Labor Day 2014 and Mark Trestman granted it, and we later found out that it was to open a barbecue restaurant in California on the Monday, the opening practice of the regular season. And you go, okay, that doesn't smell right. And it opens the door for things to get wonky really quickly. And that 2014 season got really wonky really quickly because everyone was just kind of pulling in different directions.
Yeah, but it is collectively bargained. Like, cool. If I, you know, the example that I used, did you say cool?
Yeah.
Well, it's okay. So, like, you compared it to your job, right? Of having to show up, like, and you would want to spend more time with your kids. Like, if you have a job where you have 15 paid vacation days a year and they don't pay you out for not taking those days, like, you don't get paid overtime or anything like that if you don't use them. To me, you're a sucker if you don't use all 15. You're working for free. So these guys literally have a union that negotiated this stuff for them. I just have a hard time getting up in arms over it. I'm not saying that you are.
Yeah,
I'm not saying that you are, but just the idea, you know what I mean? Like, it's a they're right as an employee with a union. That's how employment works in this country.
That's why I say I ride the seesaw, because I'm not up in arms about it. And you get people on Twitter going, let it go. You're beating it to death. And it's like, no, they're just chronicling it right now because we have to make sure that we're on top of this in case we get to late August and Jalen says, well, I never got the extension that I was really driving for. And so now I'm going to, you know, do something else that's a little bit more extreme to try to exact leverage. And we just don't know if that's in the end result of this. I don't think it is. I think that Jalen is pretty candid every time you talk to him. You guys know that from having him on the air. And he seems less than, you know, there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of tension in him about what will ultimately happen with his contract. I think he thinks that it will resolve itself, but you never know which direction these things go. So you just kind of have to keep your fingers on the pulse of it at every step. I know some people don't want it to be that way. And I don't know what the right answer is here. Because to your point, Danny, it's like, it kind of depends on what you're working on at the time you take those paid vacation days, right? Because if you're working on something important and you're just like, ah, screw it, I had vacation days. Well, then the people that you're working on something important with go, well, he just bailed on us at a time where we were really trying to build towards something really meaningful. And then it just creates some friction and some uncertainty that doesn't need to be there.
I think that football code that a coach would love to have is same rules for everybody just doesn't, it doesn't work when you have something as nuanced as this, which puts the players in a trick bag. You know, it's a complicated thing. I was much more upset about Nate Davis, who signed a brand new deal and is learning a brand new system and was not here. Did you sense any exasperation on the coach's part about his absence? Because Luke Getsy talked about chemistry, and I wondered what the tone was behind that.
Yeah, I wouldn't classify it as exasperation, but I think there was probably a little bit of irritation, you know, that look, like, we are talking all the time about the need to quickly create a cohesive offensive line, and that cohesive offensive line has to be a major catalyst for what Justin Fields is going to do in his third season as an NFL quarterback. And when we just forfeit days in building that chemistry and then have to play catch up when a guy returns and then get everything acclimated, well, we're just a little bit further behind schedule than we'd ideally want to be going into a season that the city of Chicago and the Chicago Bears organization understands is absolutely pivotal in the trajectory of their current franchise quarterback, you know? And so you just, you forfeit opportunities to create that. And now you've got to play catch up a little bit. And so I think there is a little bit of irritation behind that.
Dan Wiederer, Bears reporter with us on the Parkinson Spiegel Show. Were you surprised that after four consecutive 1,000-yard seasons, 27-year-old Dalvin Cook was outright released and not traded?
No, because, you know, David and I talked about this on the Take North podcast. There is no crueler position in sports than NFL running back. You know, you can be one of the top playmakers in the league, and then 18 months later, you're kicked out the door and no one is trading for you and people don't want to pay you as much because they can find a younger, cheaper replacement with less wear and tear. To me, it certainly is just the latest example that illuminates how in flux the entire division is and how open the NFC North is now for somebody to take a step forward and announce that they want to be the team that leaps further than anyone expected. The Vikings are at a weird state now where they're the reigning division champions, but they're obviously in transition and you're seeing guys like Thielen out the door, Dalvin Cook out the door. You don't know how much longer Kirk Cousins is going to be here. And it's this sort of revolving door there that puts them at a state where they've got to reinvent on the fly and try to sustain success that, put them in position last year to play in into January.
Any chance the Bears would show interest?
Running back room is crowded. No, I don't think that's,
I agree.
Any place that they're going. But I know anytime a name is out there, we got to figure out whether they're going to kick the tires.
Well, I mean, I do think that there will be teams that kick the tires that are good teams.
For
like,
sure.
So sometimes a name like this comes out there and it's like, oh, he's going to end up in a bad spot and he's just going to go for money. I would be very surprised if he doesn't end up on a team with playoff aspirations.
For sure. And when healthy, Dalvin Cook is explosive. Now you got to keep him healthy as long as you possibly can. And he's obviously had some nicks and bruises over the years and they've got to resolve that a little bit. Projecting this division right now is really, really difficult because of the number of question marks in every single city, you know, and I think we could look back in the middle of January and go, wow, that was completely different than the way I thought it was going to go. And it could go either direction for every single team, right? I think that there's no certainty with any of the four teams going into 2023, and that's pretty rare.
Dan, dealer's choice for you. Would you like to talk about
Naperville?
The Arlington Heights tax code is exactly what I was going to ask.
Golf.
Or the Top Golf in Naperville along the I-88 corridor. God love you. Right? That's where it has to be. Once two callers in a row said it, that means that's where they have
kinda
to go.
Kind of where Top Golf is, like that area where the 88 corridor is. Like, I could see something popping up right over there.
Naperville has a lot of open land on the northwest corridor of 88 and 59.
Yeah.
Like right there by the Top Golf and everything. So
where will Top Golf Stadium be?
My first job out of college was in Naperville on Ogden Avenue. It was predated the Top Golf, so that Top Golf was not there.
Whoa!
When I was
OG.
Working out in Naperville.
That's a Naperville OG right there.
Look, we now know that, you know, wherever this stadium goes, that's a pretty big piece of land in Arlington Heights. You could build a stadium. You could build some restaurants. You could build an entertainment district. You could build a Top Golf that maybe goes toward the railroad tracks just to introduce some adventure in case people want to go real deep over the back net.
They end up in Arlington Heights?
Listen, Danny, you're a gambling guy. If you were setting odds at a book right now and you looked at a situation where the Bears own a property that they paid $197 million for and had town hall meetings about and issued artist renderings of what the footprint could possibly look like at some point, and you were comparing that against a meeting with the mayor last week, I think you would probably put the odds on favorite as the former there and say, yeah, like,
yeah, yeah. Over like, I, yeah, 20-1 favorite. I think they're going to Arlington Heights. I think this
Correct.
Is all posturing and
well,
politics.
it's yeah, right. And it's necessary business dealings, you know, and that's one of the reasons that Kevin Warren is in the position that he's in is because he has experience and he has a playbook from Minnesota and he obviously has to adapt given the different political landscape here and the dynamics that are at play in this given project. But you've got a guy who's been through this before and knows the dance and knows how to apply pressure and leverage, and we'll see how it works out. But I said the other day, you just have to be ready for this thing to be nonlinear and take a lot of different twists and turns. And I think we're going to have a lot of headlines that are going to be really eye-catching when you first read them, and then you just have to take a deep breath, step back, and try to interpret them, because then you get to the conclusion that you drew, which is, okay, this is just kind of a move that needs to be made in the chess game.
So I wanted to double back to something. If you have something else on the stadium speaks, go ahead.
No, nothing on the stadium.
Well, my question was going to be, what don't you like about the Lions? You seem to kind of say that they all had questions.
Just that they're the Lions, you know, and when's the last time that the Lions have sustained success in a way where you're like, I truly believe in them. And I know that's unfair because it's not the history that always brings an organization down. But look, like, Jared Goff played really well last year. Does he have it in him again? Can he be better? Can he be worse? You know, do you have situations defensively with a team that had many holes defensively in 2022? Are those shored up enough to put your grip firmly in the division and say, yeah, we're an 11 or 12 win team that is going to be the obvious front runner from week one to week 18? There's questions I just want to see answered, because they're just, as well as they finished the season, it's just not a long track record that says, yeah, this is a can't miss team right now.
Yeah, I agree with that. As a division favorite, among favorites, they probably are among the more vulnerable division favorites. But I do think that if you removed the logo and the history of the Lions, and you looked at the 53-man roster of all four teams in the division, I think they are very clearly the best team.
If I was picking today, I would pick the Lions to win the NFC North in 2023. If we got to January 15th and they finished 8-9, I'd go, oh, yeah, I guess that doesn't shock me all that much.
Sure. All right.
A couple of quickies. Just your gut feeling. Who's the starting center on this team week one?
Cody Whitehair.
Okay. Who's the starting weak side linebacker on this team week one?
That's TJ Edwards.
Okay. I meant strong side linebacker. My bad. Jack Sanborn?
The nickel corner.
I think I would probably say Jack Sanborn with Noah Sewell not that far behind.
Okay. No, nickel corner, I think that's Kyler Gordon.
Kyler Gordon.
No, I the joke would be that they would be starting in the sub pack.
I got it.
That there wouldn't be a strong side linebacker on the field.
Gotcha.
But all right. Dan, good stuff. We will talk many times, I'm sure, before this piece drops, but eagerly awaiting it, my friend. Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Well, don't pressure me, because I need some time to get it to where I want it. So don't pressure me so much. I feel
your decision to share the contents of the article.
Heat, and I got to get it going.
Your decision to share the contents of the article is voluntary, as collectively bargained. So that's up to you.
See you, Dan.
Just before the robots got him.
There he goes. Dan Wiederer. Texter says 8-9 might win the North. Well, let's talk about the NFC North with some interesting headlines coming up from the Bears' rivals. It's next on The Score.
8:23 to go. I formation, Ham ahead of Cook. Cousins under center. Singled up to the left side is Jefferson. They hand off to Cook. The tackle of a penetrating Brisker. He is in for the touchdown. Just off the right guard, and the Vikings do have that 6-0 lead, but Jefferson doesn't get the touchdown. It's Dalvin Cook, the outstanding running back, into the end zone.
Joniak with the call. Four straight years of 1,100-plus yards. He had 1,172 rushing last year. He had 8 rushing touchdowns last year. He's 27 years old. And Dalvin Cook couldn't be traded for a conditional 6th-round pick.
Such is the state of running backs in the NFL. And all it takes is just a little bit of realization of, like, I thought he looked a little slow last year. Just a tiny bit slow. He's had major injuries. A salute. And it's much more a product of the position. But did you think he looked like Dalvin Cook last year when you watched them play?
No. Not at the peak of his powers 2 years ago, 16 touchdowns, Dalvin Cook, but top 10 running back in the league when healthy? Yeah.
Only 27. I know he's expensive, right? So it's not just the talent, right? Like he posted on Instagram a picture of him celebrating at Hard Rock Stadium where Miami plays, and people are already connecting the dots and saying that he's going to end up being a Dolphin. Like Dalvin Cook's going to have multiple suitors. He's not going to get like a 1 year only incentive laden deal. Like I still think he's a good player. I just think people knew that Minnesota was going to release him, so they didn't have to trade for him.
Yeah,
that's what I think's happening here.
That makes all the sense in the world. I had seen the Miami rumors in the last week before he ends up getting released, and you know, now he can choose and write his own ticket and go down there and play with Tua and Tyreek and all those guys.
And yeah, and we'll see if that is what ends up happening. But like, if that happens and it's a multi-year deal, you know, with a decent guarantee attached to it, you know, I get that the running back position, I agree with what Wiederer said, right? That it's the most cruel position and all of that, especially since they redid the rookie wage scale mm-hmm. where rookies get paid less, which they probably should because they haven't proven it in the league. But then running backs who are rookies get paid less and then they don't get second contracts and it's much tougher for them to cash in.
Absolutely. So would a team be more likely to pick up 27-year-old Dalvin Cook with what his contract number is going to be, or if he were available, his little brother James Cook in year two with Buffalo, 89 carries for 507 yards at a 5.7 average and a couple of touchdowns because of those other factors of the assumed mileage on the tires and the number on the cap? Which one is more likely to get picked up if available?
I mean, it's tough. I don't know what Dalvin Cook is going to sign for, right? But maybe I'm a prisoner to the name. I'll take Dalvin Cook. Like, I do think that there are some guys who are special that then they get a little hurt and then you forget about them, like how good they are. I think we saw it with Alvin Kamara. Like, Alvin Kamara was dinged up for a little bit and then he came back and he was healthy and he was like, oh, yeah, there's a top three dual threat running back in the league. You know, so I still do think that Dalvin Cook healthy is a pretty damn special player. And by the way, you put him in Miami behind Tyreek as an option, behind Jalen Waddle as an option, with a creative offensive play caller, people will not love that he goes to Miami. You know, like that all right now it's like, oh, his value's down. Then as soon as he goes to Miami, they're going to be, what a steal for the Dolphins. What unbelievable upside. That guy could be a 15 touchdown guy, top, you know, 3-round pick in fantasy type of guy.
Out of the division for the Bears, though. Although yeah. They've done a pretty good job of bottling up Dalvin Cook through the years, actually.
Yeah, I think that Minnesota is, you talked about soft rebuild for the Cubs. I think that they are fully aware that 13 wins was a fluke. And they are trying to get younger mm-hmm. and acquire assets and prepare for, you know, life after Kirk, whenever that ends up being. But I do think the Lions are very good. Go ahead.
No, just I'm reminding myself of the numbers for Dalvin Cook against the Bears. The Bears shut him down. 613 yards and 159 carries in 9 games. Yards per carry often below 3. In games against the Bears.
That's great. Yeah, so should have stayed.
100-yard game in his 9 against the Bears all time. But you still think the Vikings are good? Who's
No, I think they're bad.
Oh, you think they're bad.
I think they won 13 games and they had a negative point differential, and I think that they know that they completely overachieved and they were 11-0 in one score games. And you know what I mean? I just think that was a fluky outlier positive 2018 Bears everything goes right type of season. Like, you know what I mean? Like that was a you play that season 100 times. I think they win 13 games, 1 out of 100 simulations of last year, and that's what happened. I do not think that they are good. They might be a 8-win team. I'm not saying that they're gonna pick in the top 5,
yeah.
But They way overachieved last year.
Who are the top two teams in this division? Who's finishing 1-2 in the NFC North?
I think it's going to be Lions and Bears.
You do, huh?
Yeah.
You know,
I think the Lions are an 11-win team and the Bears are like an 8-win team.
Wow. Do you know how many times that has happened since the division was formed in 1967? And obviously Tampa Bay was in there for a while. How many
that order? Detroit 1, Chicago 2?
Any order. Lions and Bears.
Or Bears and Lions.
Or Bears and Lions. How many times have the Lions and the Bears, in either order, been the top two teams in this division since 1967?
I'll say five.
Once. 1991. That's it. In either order. So this feeling of like, well, the Lions are garbage. And
they're not garbage.
I know.
They are not garbage.
Not this year, but they were for a long time. And the Bears often were. And the Favre-Rodgers Packers and, you know, sometimes the Randall Cunningham, Dante Culpepper Vikings and whatever. I mean, that blew me away that only once have the Bears and Lions been the class of the division.
That is crazy. That's ridiculous. Speaking of the Lions, I want to hear this. Dan Campbell and Sean McVay both. Because a lot of the stuff that I hear about the Lions when people don't believe in them is, well, it's the Lions. Or, well, Jared Goff isn't that good. Okay, Jared Goff had 4,400 passing yards with 29 touchdowns against 7 interceptions last year. He had, last year, the best season, a better season, than any Bears quarterback has ever had by far. Last year, history of the franchise, Jared Goff better last year for sure than any quarterback we've ever seen. But here are those coaches, his current and his former. McVay is second and Dan Campbell first on Jared Goff.
What he came from and you know, that wasn't the easiest thing. You know, you get traded, you're another team, what's going on? I thought I was playing pretty good, maybe I'm not. What you're seeing is a guy who just put his head down and went back to work and worked on what he could, tried to improve on what he could, and now his confidence is really, it's really grown, and along the way he's matured as a quarterback. I mean, he's a better quarterback than he was there, in my opinion.
I think Jared's played at a really high level. I'll tell you what, though, when you watch what he did last year, he played great. I was really happy to see how well he did. I think, you know, that's probably a fair assessment because he's only getting better.
I think that he isn't the guy that is obviously not completely special, independent of circumstance and situation, but in good circumstances and situations, he's more than good enough to get the job done. He's very accurate. And they have arguably the best offensive line in football. They have an offensive coordinator in Ben Johnson who was getting head coaching inquiries and passed them up to stay there. So they have continuity of system. They were a very successful rushing team in terms of touchdowns last year, and they just drafted Jahmyr Gibbs at 12 and signed David Montgomery. So they have a commitment to balance. Amon-Ra St. Brown plus Jameson Williams. I know he's suspended for the first 6 games, but he came on and looked like a star last year. Like, multiple weapons in the passing game, great offensive line, continuity, depth, and diversity of talent in the backfield. They could be a top 5 offense in the NFL. I don't see a ton of holes in what the Lions are going to do when Jared Goff is on the field, other than, it's the Lions, and Jared Goff regressed after he made it to the Super Bowl with Sean McVay.
Yeah, no.
That's a couple of years ago at this point.
Sure, it's a couple of years ago, and he should be better. I agree with Dan Campbell. I think he is better. He's more comfortable, and he's been through some life stuff. Where it falls off so completely, and he gets traded away from the team that drafted him number one, and to show up strong the way he has. So as a human, I bet he's more mature and more confident, and that's a big, big part of being a good quarterback. Yeah, I'm only counting on the Lions-ness of the whole thing. And, like, the problem is Dan Campbell, not a laughingstock. We thought he was on day one with the biting of the knees and such, but he's just he's not that guy.
No, I mean, I think he's a culture guy.
Yep.
And I think he might be a little old school in terms of what he prioritizes, but they clearly love him and they play hard for him. So it's just it's a weird new world, right? Where the Lions are, and like I can say all of that in terms of praising them and look around at the other divisions and say, oh, well, in terms of division favorites, there are other division favorites that have proven way more, right? The Chiefs, the AFC West favorite, have proven way more. The Eagles, the NFC East favorite, have proven way more. the Niners, the NFC West favorite, have proven way more. The Bengals in the AFC North, the Bills, you know, maybe unless you think it's the Jets and the AFC East haven't proven as much. But, like, yeah, the Lions as a favorite haven't proven that much compared to the other favorites in the league. But you don't have to beat the AFC East or the AFC West. The Lions just have to be better than the Vikings, Packers, and Bears.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're way better. As we go around the NFC North, we'll get a little nugget out of Green Bay on their quest for a third straight great quarterback. Next on The Score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Are you kidding me? Tune in to Twitch.
Afternoons on The Score.
You know, this conversation would have happened a lot sooner had I not won, you know, back-to-back COVID MVPs.
Packers finally don't have a first ballot Hall of Famer at quarterback on the roster.
Or do they?
I was talking with Nephew Jack, diehard Packer fan, when we were watching game one of the NBA Finals. And we were talking about week one, how Bears are a 2.5-point favorite over Green Bay. And I gave him my theory of, like, yeah, but there's just so much more pressure on Justin Fields. He's like, there's a lot of pressure on Jordan Love. I'm like, I know, but if Jordan Love is better than Justin Fields and the Packers win, that is just an apocalyptic scenario for Bears fans.
If that happens in week one.
If in week one, if that happens.
Is that going to be worse than the opening night Mitch fart game against the Packers in 2019?
It's in the same chapter of the same book.
It really is.
Yeah, it's just...
I mean, now I'm thinking back to the 5 o'clock segment yesterday as you're comparing the situations, and we know all the variables that make them different, but the Mitch fart game, is that the official designation?
When you talk about just the expectations not met for that game in particular, I mean, where does that rank in Chicago sports history?
That is the
100-year celebration, and here's all the all-time Bears.
All summer long. I mean, it's been the entire time.
And isn't that the game where he showed up dressed like Ditka?
Oh my God, did he? Is that the one?
Isn't that the game where, like, because, like, I think it is. I think he was, like, just, like, embracing the whole thing. Yeah, it was just...
leaning in and trying to be...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then...
Oh.
And then it all happened.
That is one of the most disappointing nights in Chicago sports history.
Certainly recent Chicago sports history.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's just a lot of pressure on both of them in week one. But as we were kind of going around the NFC North, we're talking about Dalvin Cook leaving the Vikings and what Dan Campbell and McVay are saying about Jared Goff. This is David Bakhtiari on Jordan Love.
I think Love is a very powerful mechanism that can really bring a team together.
Jordan.
I think Jordan's a very powerful mechanism that can really bring the team together. he's been good. It's kind of nice seeing him be his own man. You know, not that he ever wasn't, but there is obviously, like, you know the role you are being the backup. So now, like, he knows it. He's, until told otherwise, he's going to be the starting quarterback of the Green Bay Packers when we go out there. And my biggest thing to him is be you. I don't need you to be anything different than what you were. You don't need to be Aaron. So whatever's comfortable for you, let's do that. We've been doing things here since I've been here one way for a long time. And whatever he wants to take that he liked from it, great. Whatever he wants to take and make different, great. Like, this is – guys play the best when they're themselves and their most authentic true self. So that's what I have even taken within my own game, and I preach that to a guy like Jordan, and I've always told that to all the linemen is, don't do what I do because I'm weird and my body's cut differently. Figure out what works best for your body and become the best version of yourself.
I like that. Way to go, David Bakhtiari.
Good leadership right there.
Yeah, good leadership, good life skills, good therapeutic maturity, all of it.
You think he's reading the Tao of Dansby Swanson?
That are the Four Agreements. It's either ancient Toltec wisdom in the Four Agreements or the Tao of Dansby Swanson. Yeah, one of the two.
Texters are reminding me, Ditka was Mitch's Halloween costume. It was Nagy who showed up like George Halas.
I'm looking at it right now. Nagy with the fedora going.
Thank you. I conflated the two.
Oh, the swag. The swag on Matt Nagy wearing the sweater vest underneath the jacket with the button.
Danny, remember how big of a night that was? We did our show from the lobby that day.
Yeah, that was a big one. That was a big
remote. The lobby of this building.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, that was big.
Man, I long for the days when they would send us to the lobby.
Yeah, I was like, how did they have it in the travel budget to send us down the elevator? And Danny, to be fair, we had balloons.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they spent the majority of the money on that inflatable field goal kicking exhibit. Remember that?
Yep.
Over by the doors?
Yeah. Yeah, that was
secured to the
game.
Ground on the tile, so people would plant and then slip because the tarp would be slipping on the tile.
In the lobby. That's amazing.
So many confused business people.
Why are you talking? Why are you talking right now?
Why would you be here?
Who are you? Go away. I'm trying to get to Just Salad.
This was pre-Just Salad. Oh. This was a different time.
Ooh, boy.
No Just Salad, no COVID.
Oh, my gosh.
That was the Snarfs era.
Yes. Yes. Same remote budget. The lobby. Good Lord.
I'm so sad that the Bears are not playing in Berlin, as we had previously heard.
Yeah,
because
that's a bummer.
I really wanted to go to Berlin, and I thought they were going to do it. You know, it was either that or the lobby.
I just want to go back to the Bratstop. I'll settle for Kenosha.
I think we could get to the Bratstop.
I mean, there's no way to know.
Mm.
I hope so. I mean, the Bears Chiefs game, it fell on the worst weekend possible in the calendar for me to go with the show. So I don't think we're going to be able to do that. But maybe we'll go to another Bears road game. Maybe we'll go to Detroit. Maybe we'll go to New Orleans. Maybe we'll go somewhere.
Mm.
I like to. We can dream, and who knows? Maybe they're going to just surprise us one day on the air and say, "You know what? We're sending you boys to London for Cubs Cardinals."
Isn't that like 3 weeks?
Yeah, like the 25th.
Later this month.
26th.
Hey, a boy can dream.
Like 2 weeks, like 2.5 weeks.
Two weeks.
We're going to send you to London, but you have to pay for everything.
Right.
But we're telling you, you can go.
You are allowed to work from London if you pay for it, including the engineer.
Yeah, and can you find a studio?
Right. Okay. Well, then I guess the dream isn't that for Cubs Cardinals in London.
Yeah. Well, you know, those two teams, man, that's
those are two baseball teams.
I'm still high on going to see the Bears in Detroit. I think that would be fun.
Stillman and Company live out on Radio Row here presented by Social Furniture.
They're going to London.
Yeah, of course.
Stillman and Company is going to London.
Dude, I'm in for Detroit.
The Social Furniture budget has no end in sight. Just on fire, the guys from Social Furniture.
We got to let that guy know.
Skibbity-gabbity? Skibbity-gabbity.
Social Furniture. We got to let Social Furniture know that if he wants to send a Chicago radio show somewhere.
Yes.
Well, with how much we talk about him, he could open a branch here if he wanted to.
Seriously.
That's what I'm saying.
Tremendous amount of free pub on a 50,000-watt blowtorch.
Yeah.
I mean, how much could skibbity-gabbity really be getting done for him?
There's a lot of Chicago transplants that go to Nashville.
Yes.
Or Nashville transplants from Chicago.
Well, we took their best. We took the guy who's number one.
Austin Huff, US 99 Mornings.
No, that's not what I meant.
We just need one person who does the Chicago to Nashville to go into that furniture store and say you heard about it on The Score, and we could be in London in 2 weeks thanks to a Nashville furniture store. Are the headlines getting it right or wrong with the Bears' future? Next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.